And so I didn't find two churches. I found the global growth of the gospel in Brooklyn and in the Bronx. And it was a profound experience. And over the next decade, then, I would spend my Sundays and my Wednesday nights and my Sunday nights and every space of time that I could get with my family sometimes. Usually we kept our home church at our church in Harlem, but that's what I did for about 10 years. Sometimes for years, much more intense, other times less. With congregations, worshiping, praying, understanding their story for about 10 years. And I realized that these two churches represented about 200 congregations in the city, of faithful believers in New York from Ethiopia, Ghana, Nigeria, Liberia, the Congo, and more. And as I was learning about African churches and I was learning the city through the eyes of congregations and walking through neighborhoods and finding my way around the city through the church life, I was also learning about Asian, Latin American, Caribbean believers and Christians in numbers that I could have never imagined. I felt like I was living in the first century. By the way, I should say that numbers are that I estimate with our colleagues at the seminary, and I think others would collaborate versions of this in different ways, that in New York City in the last 30 to 35 years or so, anywhere between 2,000 and 3,000 new congregations have been formed in the city by leaders from Africa, Asia, Latin America, and Caribbean, West Indies. Profound. Who knew? I felt like I was living in the first century, that the church was expanding through cities, crossing boundaries of culture and geography, that gospel and the power of the Spirit was occurring all around me, and all I had to do was observe what was happening. The cultural diversity of the Christian faith was profound. And at the same time, this surprise which was changing me was about the city. And here's one of the sort of biggest surprises. And that is, instead of the city, New York, as a place where we perceive where faith struggles and eventually dies, the 21st century, I've come to see, is the place where the church comes to grow. Right here. Whether Pentecostal, Catholic, mainline historic, or evangelical, new things are percolating up as the church has stayed in the city and responded to God. We see this in New York every Sunday across the city's diverse neighborhoods, from the South Bronx to Lower Manhattan to Queens, Staten Island and Brooklyn. Men, women, children, and young people, families and singles leave their homes and apartments to attend church. Getting on the subway or bus, driving a car, walking, they meet in schools and recreation centers, traditional church buildings, retired nursing homes, reconfigured hotel buildings, warehouse spaces, and rented meeting halls. Anywhere there is a room or a corner to sing, pray, hear the word, and share a meal. That's where Christians are worshiping. Now, we see this in cities around the world, from Africa and Asia to Latin America and Europe and North America, on university campuses, on side streets and favelas, and rented rooms where workers gather midday in Asia and in the high-rise offices of investment firms. Surprised by and unaware of what God is doing in the city, little surprise maybe, you are not alone. So at one time was the Apostle Paul. Paul had a vision for birthing and growing and connecting churches together, new churches together in the Roman urban world. Paul was an urban missionary. Paul was an urban church planter. Paul was an urban pastor. And Acts 18 describes the Apostle Paul's ministry to the city of Corinth, a growing and diverse city in his day. You would say Toronto, a growing and diverse city. Now, Paul doesn't feel that things are going so well, although from other texts around this, we can see that actually Paul's mission was bearing fruit. But in the immediate, Paul is in the city, and he's doing the hard work of preaching the gospel, of opening the church, let's say, with people like Priscilla and Aquila, Silas and Timothy. Together, they are working to build new communities of followers of Jesus in their city. Paul's proclaiming Christ in the kingdom of God, the mystery hidden from the ages in God, as we read it in Ephesians. Paul is a servant of God, but perhaps he fears disappointments and uncertainty about the impact of his apostolic work. Perhaps he feels the potential of failure. In this moment, when he feels alone in his efforts, God speaks a word to Paul, not of judgment, but of joy and encouragement. And Jesus says through him, to him, "Do not be afraid. Keep up your ministry. I am with you." And this is from Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 10. "I have many people in this city. I have many people in this city." The language of "I am with you" is the language of God's covenant promise. It's the Old Testament everywhere throughout this. Of God's covenant promise that began with Abraham. And we also recognize here as well that Christ's words at the end of the Gospel of Luke, that God would still be with them as they stay in the city. Luke and Acts really do belong together. But God is with them not just in the spirit and in this commitment of the covenant, but also through people in the city that were doing things he had no idea about. As the Message translation of Eugene Peterson puts it, quote, "You have no idea how many people I have in this city." No idea. This word to Paul recalls what God spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. Fearing for his life, Elijah says to God, I alone am left. And then God tells him there are 7,000 faithful in Israel. You are not alone. There is more going on than you know about. Now, like Paul, there are things going on in the city that even a prominent church leader might not know about. This is not a judgment, but an invitation to open our vision to see the things that God is doing that we might not otherwise see. It is also the recognition that the church is in God's hands, not in Paul's or in ours. Global migration and its impact on New York and Toronto has been a major net gain for Christianity. As people have moved around the world to cities, they are bringing their faith, and there's many faiths they are bringing. But many of them, the majority of the United States, are Christian. Migrations today, born from war and displacement in the Middle East and violence in Central America, bring new challenges to Christian conviction and mission where we are. There are many implications that I've sort of tried to think through about what this means. And I should say that two books. One is I wrote about this in a book called Word Made Global. And it's telling the stories of Christians. And it's there's a lot of material in there. It's really a story about how ministry is happening in the city today. I mentioned that I needed to personally become part of a new city. I needed to experience New York in a fresh way, not through the eyes of my previous work. However significant Sandtown was on me as a person, as a believer, I needed to see it in a new way. And so I learned from the ground up what ministry is about in the city in a new way that I couldn't have invented. I couldn't have come up with this, written about it. I had to experience it through others. And out of that experience of seeing how ministry is working and how congregations are flourishing, out of those relationships, we began City Seminary of New York. And so our seminary begins with the experience of the Holy Spirit in the city, in communities, and how we can learn together about the practice of ministry. So it really does begin with experience. And it begins with a real conviction that theological education, that is thinking about our faith and deeply into that and its impact on our families and our communities, nothing is more important for the future of the gospel in our cities and in our lives than the transmission of faith from one generation to the next. And so at the heart of this becomes, for me, a learning about theology from a completely new understanding of theological categories and issues and methodology that I would have never gathered. However much I knew about theology in South Africa or Latin America or written about inner city Baltimore, I learned theology completely afresh through the experience of being part of different communities and trying to see and hear and feel and taste and touch through Christ through their experiences and their community lives and being transformed and seeing how the practice of ministry is far more diverse and profound than I could have ever imagined. And theological matters really was transforming of who I was. But as I think about some of the implications, not just for my own story, but for theological education and for the, but what about some of the other implications? Let me just mention three in closing. One is in the area of language. In the area of language. It seems so important to me today. we talk about, I've spoken about immigration, new immigrants, African immigrants, Latino, Jamaican. I've spoken the language of a difference between us. I am working hard, and I've tried to do that in my writing, but in the seminary, but even more hard to think about, these are not new immigrants, these are brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we start saying we're citizens and they're immigrants and not seeing ourselves first as brothers and sisters in Christ and as co-bearers of the image of God, then we've already lost in some ways. And so I think the shift in language is really, really crucial to what we let me just finish up and we can do that. So I think language is really crucial that we want to reframe our discussion about this through the eyes of faith. The second thing is about the city. So how do you learn what's going on in a city? Well, we talked about the practices of the senses today and as a way of sort of thinking about the science of ministry. How is it actually we do it? If we could step back and say, what makes our Christian faith alive and living and engaging in a city? How could we sort of talk about those pieces? So we talked about the practices. But as we do that, it gives us a new way to understand the city. You know, why people come to cities, what they do, what they struggle with, what their hopes are, how they feel about local politics, how they connect to others. Seeing the city through other experiences and not just our own is an intentional practice which really reframes the city and how neighbors revitalize. Lots of, you know, as you do this kind of work, you find lots of things that come into your view you never would have expected and how cities actually work. So, African immigrants, brothers and sisters, they didn't have a community development corporation, did they? They didn't have a CDC. They didn't have a ministry that was just about revitalization. But by moving onto that block in Brooklyn, they ended up revitalizing that whole neighborhood. They were the first ones in. And now they actually lost their space and they went to a larger one in another part of Brooklyn. But I watched them. I took photographs over 15 years. And they revitalized that neighborhood just by being there. Economic development, new churches, a new presence. They helped build New York City, but they didn't have a community development corporation. And they work in every sector. They work in the finance sector. They work in their entrepreneurs everywhere, every part of New York. They're building the city. New Christians are not just there to get a new start. They're there to contribute to the common life of the city. What did I learn about the city? And the third thing is about the church. I'm in the Reformed tradition, spend a lot of time in the Episcopal or Anglican tradition when I'm not living in or working in a particular church, when I'm living somewhere else. And my experiences have been very Protestant in some ways. Most of these churches were vibrant and alive and maybe Pentecostal, which is a word I might not want to use, but just for the sake of it, you would identify them as raising their hands and clapping and dancing and shouting and praying all night and fasting. Probably call it Pentecostal as a starting point. But I learned about how the Pentecostal churches and the Catholic parishes and the Protestant parishes, the historic churches, the new congregations, the evangelical churches, all of them share the same common sort of concern for their city and for their families and for their churches and for their immediate communities. And so I learned about ecclesiology from the ground up in a way which I couldn't have imagined through these different experiences. And so I think in terms of language, in terms of understanding the city today, urbanization and its future, and church life, as well as we could make a long list about mission, about reconciliation, about family. We could have a long list of discussion about implications from this. But in these areas, of language, of city life, and of church life. I just began, I think, in my life and my work to begin to understand how Christianity's moving around the world is transformational. Let me read these verses, and then we can have some conversation to follow up. This is from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And so, verse 8, there was great joy in that city. Thanks be to God.